There was an officer in the Navy who had always dreamed of commanding a battleship. He finally achieved that dream, and he was given commission of the newest and the proudest ship of the fleet. And one stormy night, as his ship plowed through the sea, he noticed off in the distance a strange light that was closing very quickly on his vessel. Immediately, he ordered for the signalman to flash the message to the unidentified craft. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. Some of you are nodding your heads and you know exactly where I'm going with this story. Only a moment had passed before the reply came back. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. Determined that his ship would take a back seat to no other, the captain snapped for the order to be sent back. Alter your course 10 degrees. I am the captain. The response beamed back. Alter your course 10 degrees. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Now infuriated, the captain actually grabbed the signal with his own hands and he fired off. Alter your course. I am a battleship. The reply came back. Alter your course. I am a lighthouse. See, no matter how big or important any of us think that we are, God's word stands forth as an unchanging beacon. All other courses must be altered to his. This morning, we are actually going to talk about another man in a boat that needed to surrender. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, today we'll be looking at verses 1 through 11, and we'll get to those in a couple moments. In this series, we're going through in Luke, the investigative gospel, and today's message is titled, Complete Surrender. Now, surrender is not really a popular word in our society. It carries with it all kinds of negative meanings, and it's usually associated with defeat or with loss. We think of Grant surrendering to Lee. We think of General Cornwallis when he surrendered to the American troops. How about the Japanese surrendering at the end of World War II? Anytime surrender takes place, a winner and a loser are defined. But like all things, that is a very simplistic way of looking at it. Sometimes those who surrender are really the winners. Now I know that that may sound a little bit confusing. Let's look at the illustration again. The captain of that battleship, he eventually surrendered to the lighthouse. And by surrendering to the lighthouse and changing his course, he secured the safety and the survival, not only of his battleship, but of his crew. He ended up a winner by surrender. The topic that I want to talk about this morning is complete surrender to Christ, our unshakable lighthouse. I want us to talk about the areas in our lives that maybe we need to surrender to Him. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1, you can follow along up here, or Don actually put them in the bulletin if you have one, he's actually got it there, or you can just sit and listen. Starting at verse 1, it reads like this. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deeper water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Let me give you a little bit of background information on Peter before we dive into the text. You see, Peter has already met Jesus. You may remember from last week we talked about Simon. It's the same person, Simon Peter. Jesus went to his house and his mother-in-law had a fever, and so Jesus had healed him. But apparently, Peter wasn't totally impressed with Jesus because he went back to fishing. He was not interested in following this Jesus person. I'm sure that at that point in time, there were a lot of preachers who were going around proclaiming to be this Messiah, the person that they'd been waiting for 400 years. You see, Peter was older and he was wiser. He didn't buy into every scam that came his way. No, he was sticking with what he knew best, and that was fishing. And that is where we find Peter at the beginning of our passage. Peter has been out fishing all night long, and they haven't caught anything. He and his partners were sitting on the shore next to their boats, and they're cleaning their nets. I'm sure they were looking forward to getting the job done and being able to get home so they could get some rest. And that is when Jesus, he leads a multitude of people right up to the seashore, and he begins teaching these people with Peter and his boat and the nets as a backdrop. I want you to notice that Jesus actually comes to Peter. Although he was teaching to the multitude of people there, I believe that his primary goal on that day of ministry was to find Peter and to have Peter come to a place of surrender. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. We need to present ourselves to Christ just the way we are. Peter was dirty. He had been fishing all night. He was covered with bait and sweat and all kinds of other sticky, fishy things that you could think of. See, he was not dressed to meet God. When Christ asked him to borrow his boat so that he could preach to this multitude of people, Peter didn't say, wait. Let me go home and freshen up a little bit, and then I'll come back, and then we can do this. No, he surrendered and he obeyed. See, this is important. So many people go around life trying to clean everything up before they meet with God. I will surrender. I will give up to God. I will ask him into my life. As soon as I quit, as soon as I quit smoking, as soon as I stop cussing, as soon as I stop looking at pornography, as soon as I give up on that affair that I'm involved in, I want to clean up first, and then I will get right with God. See, that's not how it works. You will not find that technique found in John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Not whoever believes in him shall not perish if he first cleans himself up and then presents himself to God. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There is nothing that we can do to earn God's love. There is nothing that we can do to deserve it. He gives it freely. All he asks is that we surrender to him and then reap the benefits of being conquered by the King and the Creator of the universe. So now we take up our story. With Jesus teaching the multitude, the crowd is getting so big that they're kind of pressing against Jesus, and he's trying to find some breathing room. So he asks Peter to let him use his boat. So Peter allows it, and Christ finishes his teaching sitting on the boat, right there on the edge of the shoreline. kind of like a moat between them. Once the teaching is completed, I think that the crowd was so into Jesus that they did not want to leave, and Jesus was trying to find some way to get some rest. So he asked Peter to run up the sail and cast out into deeper water. Keep in mind here, though, that Peter has been out on the sea all night long. He's ready for some rest. He's being really polite to this Messiah. He allowed him to use his boat as a pulpit. He's given him a free pleasure cruise out into the water. And by now, his patience must be running a little bit thin. What we see next is almost funny, although not funny to Peter. Christ asks Peter to let down the nets for a catch. The nets that Peter had just finished washing. The nets that if he takes them and he lets them down again, he's going to have to wash them all over again. Peter was tired. He was ready to go home. He had to draw the line somewhere. Have you ever felt like that? So I'm talking to you Christians today. Have you ever got tired of serving the Lord? See, you have offered and you have offered and you have offered and you have seen no results, and now you are just plain tired. You ever been there? Well, Peter replies like this, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything." Now remember that Christ, in the eyes of Peter, is just another preacher. Peter was a fisherman and he knew how to fish. He'd been doing it his whole life. He was a good fisherman. He actually had a successful business going here. But anyone who has ever fished can tell you that sometimes the fish, they just don't bite. So for Christ to tell Peter how to fish and where to put down the nets must have seemed absurd. Now many times God gives us instructions about what we're supposed to do in this life. And many times those instructions, they don't always make sense. But when we choose to obey, we will always be better off for it. At this point in time, in our story, I believe that Jesus looked at Peter with the loving eyes of God. Then Peter says, "Because you say so, I will let down the net." There had to be some connection there. This was a huge surrender for Peter. The act of letting down his nets went against everything that he knew as a fisherman. He knew that it was going to keep him up for hours more with no rest. But he chooses to surrender all of his knowledge of fishing, all of his personal rights to rest, and his claim as captain of his boat to make the decisions, and he lets down the nets. Peter discovered in the next moments what happens when you surrender your life over to God. The scripture says that immediately the nets were full. They caught so many fish that their boat began to sink. They called for the other boat to come and help them with the catch because it was so large, it nearly sank both boats. Now, I've been fishing many times. On Guam, I'd go fishing with my brother-in-law, John, and my brother, David. And I can tell you that of all those times out fishing on the boats, I never, ever worried once about catching so many fish that we were going to sink our boat. Usually it's the opposite. You're worried about not catching enough. What a sight that must have been there. I would have loved to seen the look on Peter's eyes when he saw the line go taut and then the boat actually start to tilt to one side as they were pulling the line, trying to draw it in, the net with all the fish in it. You see, God cannot bless you unless you surrender to him. See, this is not one of those prosperity messages. It's simply the gospel truth. God cannot give you the blessing that he has designed for your life until you surrender to living in accordance to his plan and his will. Your complete surrender will yield a complete blessing on the part of the Savior. Now, as an expert fisherman who had fished all of his life, Peter recognizes that this catch, this is one miraculous catch they have there. He has never seen anything like it. And he realizes that this Jesus, he must be the Messiah. See, no one else could command the fish to come into the net and fill it up the way that they have done. And he turns to Christ. And he falls at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." See, Peter does two things here that are very important. First, he recognizes that he is a sinner. And second, he recognizes that Christ is the Messiah, and he recognizes him as his master. Once Peter has fully surrendered his life to Christ, Jesus is able to complete his plan for Peter. He calls Peter to a greater mission than just fishing for fish. He calls him and his partners to become fishers of men. Peter's complete and unconditional surrender to Christ is a picture for all of us today. Notice in verse 11, "So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him." Complete surrender involved giving up the things that they were used to, things that were holding them back from completing God's mission. See, God will not reveal your purpose until you completely surrender to him. So what do you need to give up to follow Christ? Maybe you've never acknowledged him as master or boss of your life. Maybe you're still trying to decide what this whole Christian thing is about. Is it time for you to surrender? Surrender your life to Jesus? See, if you ask him to come in and to be Lord and to forgive you, he'll do it freely, gladly. Now, maybe you've been a Christian for 2 years or 5 or 15 or maybe even 50. But there's something that you need to surrender. Something that you've been leaving in the closet. Just something that you've been hanging on to. Maybe it's a sin or a hobby. Maybe you've been holding on to a career or a friend or maybe even a child. Maybe God is asking you to release that. You see, surrender entails recognition of Christ as Lord and Savior. Complete repentance of sin or turning everything over to him. A willingness to do whatever God wants you to do. So we must learn to surrender over to him anything and everything that would keep us from accomplishing this goal. Now, Tori, this one's for you. This is number 5. For Peter, he first had to surrender his boat to Jesus as a pulpit. Second, he had to surrender of his time to take Jesus on this pleasure cruise. Third, he had to surrender his pride and let down the nets as Jesus had asked. And lastly, he surrendered his life to his new king. Are you willing to surrender this morning? Will you yield to the light of the world and allow him to direct your life? Or will you be like that stubborn captain that we began this message with, directing that battleship? See, if you keep on a course that is not in line with God, you could crash into the rocks of sin and despair. Listen to this song.
In the midst of World War II, with tensions running high, off the eastern seaboard, one dark and foggy night, the captain sighted out ahead, just off the starboard side, the beacon of another ship, the two would soon collide. Adjust your course 10 degrees to the north, he radioed ahead. And much to his amazement, the ship replied instead. Adjust your course 10 degrees to the south, the captain felt a chill. His eyes grew cold and narrow, and the two drew closer still. I'm the captain of this vessel, and this is a command. Adjust your course 10 degrees to the north, or receive a reprimand. Again the voice replying was calm and smooth as glass. Adjust your course 10 degrees to the south, I'm a seaman second class. I'm a U.S. naval destroyer, snapped the captain with a shout. Now adjust your course 10 degrees, no discussion, over and out. They drew unnervingly closer, his eyes fixed on the light. This time the voice ripped through the air like lightning tears the night. I am the lighthouse. I'm the lighthouse. The path you choose is perilous. Destruction lies ahead if you delay. But if you'll trust me, I will lead you through safely.
Adjust your course and you'll be on your way. Will a man stay blind before he learns to see? And how many doors will a man kick down while I offer him the key? And as I begin to light the way, will he fail to recognize that I'm here to light his path, not blind his eyes?
Trust me, I will lead you through safely.
Adjust your course and you'll be on your way. You'll be on your way.